the News was brought to you this hour on AM 1460 by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Now accepting Anthem Blue Cross, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome to Free Fire Radio. And now, Free Fire Radio
is about to commence.
Good morning, North State, and welcome to Free Fire Radio right here on KCNR 1460 with Carl Lindebot. Good morning. It is 7:06 in the morning here on December the 15th, 605-4567 is our phone number. And we are streaming live at KCNR1460.com. Linda is on sabbatical today. It's Tuesday. She's feeling better from whatever was running rampant through here. We're trying to keep her out of what everybody else has been, seems to be catching and going down hard for 3 or 4 days. Good. How are you feeling, Bad Bob?
Feeling fair, tolerable, a little sore. We did a bunch of brush chipping yesterday.
That's what I heard, yeah.
You don't know shock and awe till you stand 4 feet away from an operating brush chipper. It's just it's a frightening thing to behold, feeding this thing, you know, 4-inch pine logs that it just chews up and spits out sawdust. It's like, whoa.
Fargo.
Yeah.
Visions of Fargo. Hey, and then you come in here looking like Nanook of the North. I mean, you know, if that doesn't put a little redness in, little rosiness in your cheeks, and you're coming in here.
Bundle up. I bought a new soft top for the Jeep. It just has to warm up a little bit so I can install the thing. So,
what's the weather look like?
Well, the weather actually does look good for the next couple of days, but we do have more rain on the way. As we check our Wonderground forecast, abundant sunshine, high of 54 today. They pushed the rain back until Thursday afternoon and evening, and then periods of rain through the weekend. Right now in Reading, we are looking at a nice brisk 33 degrees, and this report is brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane.
Our customers are warm friends, a veteran-owned business. There are discounts for seniors and veterans. Give them a call, 365-3793. Good people out there at Shasta Gas Propane. This portion of the show is brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center, ranked the top 100 hospital in the nation for 3 years in a row. Not only that, but their cardiac unit is voted in the top 50 hospitals in the nation. That's right. Shasta Regional is treating people well. Okay, we might as well just get off, you know, right off the morning with a rant. Uh-oh. I'm reading the paper, Record Searchlight. You know how much we know. Yesterday we had the Record Searchlight.
Yeah.
I like these guys, and it wasn't them. This came out of an AP. But it was in the Record Searchlight. It says, court-martial for Taliban captive. How could that be? How could you court-martial a man who's been captured by the Taliban? And indeed, the court-martial is for Bergdahl, Sergeant Bergdahl. He could have said court-martial for deserter.
Yeah.
For, you know, court-martial for army deserter. And that's what it should have said. Instead, it said Taliban captive. He had never been a Taliban captive if he hadn't deserted. He deserted his post.
He put his comrades in arms in harm's way by his actions.
Even though nobody was killed looking for him, it doesn't mean nobody was not injured, but it just means this, is that they put him in harm's way because they went out looking for him. He folds his clothes and he says, I had to go down and tell the leadership what was wrong with the army. Well, you know, excuse me, but you were going back the next day already. You know, the whole thing is a bunch of hooyah. And but this headline has to be one of those that you just look at it and you say, are you kidding me? Court martial for Taliban captive. No. Court martial for army deserter. I'm repulsed by things like this when I see stuff like that. You know, it's like this. Oh, and I think Bob was talking about this Trump 2016 and a swastika. Well, thanks to our media about that. Oh, everybody's a Nazi nowadays. Oh, he's a Nazi. Oh, she's a Nazi. You know, and frankly, you'll never hear me use that term unless it's something like What can I use for the term Nazi? Oh, how about just Nazis? I mean, the term Nazi, and then I see this picture in mainstream media of, you know, of Trump talking, but he's got his arm pointed, you know, like, you know how you'll stick your arm out and point at something, yeah, and say, you know what, but they only have that portion of it that's by his head with his arm straight out like a Nazi salute. I mean, yeah, it's typical mainstream liberal media who wants to, you know, that wants to paint pictures of fear. And I read something yesterday about somebody's, oh, it's those right wingers. They want pictures of fear. No, let me tell you something, buddy. It's both sides. If they can do it, they'll do it. They're going to go after Trump because he's leader. And then now look at Carson. Here's a man who is obviously a brilliant neurosurgeon, and yet people say, oh, he's slow. You know, he doesn't know what he's talking about. Oh, did he really do that? Was that really him doing the operation? I mean, when you hear things like that, it is just so incredible. And it goes right back to headlines like Army to court-martial Taliban captive. Oh, ask me if I feel sorry for Bo Bergdahl. No, I don't feel sorry for Bo Bergdahl. I feel sorry for an administration who thinks that they have to turn loose five Taliban leaders who are back in, some of them back in the fight already.
Yeah, one of them has been spotted back in the fight, bearing arms against our people.
For a guy that, it's too bad he was put into a cage and all these others, but you know what? You bring it on yourself when you desert your unit. So, anyway. Okay. Good news. Mount Shasta Ski Park's opening. It's opening now. They got enough snow up there. They can start doing it. For 2 years, we've been droughted.
They've been trying to ski on the rocks, yeah, for 2 years.
Yeah, it's hard to bounce over those moguls when there's no snow on them. I mean, you can go down, but it just does terrible things to your skis. Anyway, the Mount Shasta Ski Park is opening, and that is, as editorial says in the paper, it's good for business. It is good for business. It's good for it brings people into our area. They stay down here a lot of times, so they're not staying up at Mount Shasta. It's just good for it, and we can't wait till the kids come, grandkids, and the kids are coming this weekend. We're going to take them up there.
Yeah, well, for decades, winter sports has been a significant force in our economy, and it's been sadly lacking for about the past 5-6 years.
Well, at least for the last 2 years. I remember being up there during the winter and just looking across at Mount Shasta. There is no snow there. There is absolutely no snow there, or was.
Yeah.
Now, so what else is going on today? You have the phone off the hook. Is there a reason for
that? Yes. I was going to pass this to you during the break. The gentleman from the Shasta Symphony is on the line. He says the guy we were going to talk to at 7:30 is now available. But I was going to wait till the break we expose station business.
Oh, okay. Well, just have him hang on there for a couple seconds there, and we'll see what we can do here. All right. Well, what else we got here? Kristen Schrader. Kristen Schrader is in her plans on ending homelessness. This is a bigger story. I want to talk about this. Kristen is really pushing, Kristen Schrader, of course, is a Reading City Councilwoman. She's got a plan that, a 5-year plan or a 10-year plan that can end homelessness, and based on kind of like the Salt Lake City plan that ended, that found that they were able to end 91% of the homelessness in their city. So when we this morning we're going to talk about that. We'll try and get Kristen on to talk about her homeless plan and what that plan, what that means, what that entails, and what impact that's going to have on our city, including the new ordinances and a lot of this, and then some of the questions for the blueprint for safety about public restrooms and all this. We can get to that later. Anyway, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back after these messages. Carl Linda Bott, KCNR 1460. This is your newspaper of the air. 39 degrees out there. I don't think it's that warm. I think it's more like 36 degrees out there right now. Going
depends
up to 52.
On who you ask.
Whoa, I'm just asking myself. I walked out and my cheeks got rosy. We'll be right back.
Mark your calendars for the wedding show event of the year. January 17th, it's the Bridal Guide Wedding Show, calling all brides, grooms, and families. Join us at Simpson University January 17th from 11 to 3 p.m., where you can see over 100 vendors and a special live fashion show with tons of giveaways, including a free honeymoon trip. Make it a day to remember at the Bridal Guide Wedding Show. That's Simpson University January 17th from 11 to 3. See you there. Hi, Linda Bott here from KCNR.
And Nathan Parmalee from Reading's own Civic Auditorium.
The Reading Civic is bringing the excitement to its newly updated theater. The 2015-2016 season promises to wow you and include a 15% savings option when you purchase tickets to three or more shows.
So start your holiday season with the exquisite artistry of Moscow Ballet's Great Russian Nutcracker. Enjoy heartfelt Christmas classics with the Oak Ridge Boys Christmas Show, and take in the stunning debut of the Civic's very own production of Christmas Carol, A Love Story.
2016 kicks off with the pop culture phenomenon of Flashdance the Musical.
The devilishly funny production of C.S. Lewis's Screwtape Letters.
The wildly theatrical show Blue Man Group, and the fun family experience of Chris Parandi's Stunt Dog Experience.
For tickets and more, visit ReadingCivic.com or the Reading Civic box office.
See you at the show!
Season's greetings. This is Mac McCraw, the Shasta County Veterans Service Officer. As an Air Force retiree who previously deployed to Iraq, I know how important it is to graciously say thank you to all the currently deployed soldiers, sailors, airmen, and Marines for putting your life on the line every day to defend freedom so that all of us back home can keep safe. Merry Christmas to all of you, and we will see you soon when you come home. And thank you, Shasta County family members, for your support during the holidays.
This is Carl Bott. I'm sitting with Ted Ogilvy here, manager and head driller of Diamond Core Drilling. You know, Ted, with all this water shortage and the drought that's going on, people have a lot of questions about their water wells. What can Diamond Core Drilling do for these people?
I've seen a lot of people run out of water, and it takes a very long time to get a driller scheduled. What we'd like to do is see if we can pull a Department of Water Resources log that shows the construction details of the well. And then we also like to come out and do an actual site visit and inspect the well and see if there's anything that can be done with the well.
Now, this is a free consultation, right?
Yeah, absolutely, Carl. We don't charge anything for that. We've been providing water well services since 1980. We're veteran-owned, veteran-managed. You can reach us at area code 530-275-8162, or you can visit our website, DiamondCoreDrilling.net.
That's Diamond Core Drilling. They can help you with any of your water well needs.
This is Ted Ogilvy. We're here to help.
Alone when each day's through. Yes, I'll admit.
Aloha. This is Kevin, operations manager at Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. A professionally cleaned business sends a message to your paying customers. It says you are a company that cares about your image and always presenting the very best impression. Time after time, I've talked to clients who shopped for the lowest price, and after a few months, realized that their professional image was suffering. They didn't know who was actually coming into their offices to do the cleaning, and they just weren't getting the value they were paying for. Be wary of big-name companies that take your money, then hire unknown contractors to do the work. Since 1987, Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, your local professionals, have been offering the best in office cleaning by our screened, bonded, and insured staff. Take pride in your business and say aloha to your customers with the professional cleaning services from Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. Call 221-5868, 221-5868, MauiBob'sOfficeCleaning.com.
It's Carl and Linda Bott and Free Fire Radio on KCNR, 1460 AM.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl and DeBod. Good morning. It is 7:19 in the morning, 38 degrees out there, going up to 52 today, a low 37 tonight. Weather reports brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. This portion of the show brought to you by Northern Firearms Instruction, a team of professional NRA instructors headed up by Ted Light. He can teach in seven, maybe it's even now, it's up to 10 counties up here in Northern California. If you want to get a concealed carry license, this is the place to go to. The NFI will provide a free firearm rental and ammunition for Shasta County residents. If you don't know what kind of pistol you want, or if you're not sure which one you want to carry, go through the class, be taught on, you know, get your concealed carry license, and then the instructors, the professionals, NRA instructors at Northern Firearms will help you pick out that right pistol for you to carry. Get online at readingccw.com or call NFI at 999-1822. Women's only class in January. I believe it's January 9th. NFI is at readingccw.com or 999-1822. All right. Hey, I'm here with our new airport manager. Rod Dinger has been here lots of times, but now our new airport manager, Bryant Garrett. Good morning.
Good morning. Welcome.
Well, thank you very much for coming on today, and also Paul Osterman, who is the director of California
Pilots Association.
I can't read my own writing down here. I put my I here, and it looks like an R. So I said, this is not a realtor here. So it's Director of Pilots Association.
Good morning, Carl.
Good morning. Hey, we're talking about drones. So there's going to be, what did you say? Something like a million?
The estimates we've heard is that there will be over a million sold just this Christmas, which means drones will outnumber normal aircraft in the United States.
And we were talking a little bit, wouldn't it be nice to have as many brains up there driving the drones as there are drones? And then Bob has shown me...
We'd all agree with
that. Yeah, Bob just showed me that the FAA is requiring that all drones be registered?
Well, it's based on their weight, so anything more than, was it 55 grams?
250 grams, or basically 8.5 ounces or heavier.
8.5 ounces or heavier has to be registered?
You bet.
And that's like the one you're showing me right now.
That one does not have to be.
Oh, this one doesn't.
It's barely below the...
Oh, my gosh. Does this have a camera on it?
It does.
You know, I'm sorry, everybody, that you can't see this. But we're working on that, too, that part about the streaming, so you can see everything that's going on here. Also, but this thing is—it's got, of course, the four props. It's flat out. It looks like four pancakes put together in the middle.
Yeah, it's called a quadcopter.
The quadcopter.
Like, looks like a four-leaf clover. In plastic with propellers.
A four-leaf clover, and on the bottom of it is a camera. And how accurate is this camera? Or how?
It's 720.
High definition.
High def video, and then you can
this
take,
little thing right here.
Yes.
And so this is the kind you put up in your backyard, check out the neighborhood?
Yeah, it's a inexpensive one, and it's not what's called a first-person viewer, which means you don't see what the camera sees until you land and then take the chip out.
Oh, okay, so this has got a chip in it. Okay.
It's a good one to learn because you tend to crash it into a lot of things.
You know what? Jim Hill... who is from Aircover? And they're giving up. I guess giving up their lease on their on the property up here. But he was on when they first came here. And I tell you what, you cannot imagine the when there was a meeting out at Anselmo's several years ago. A lot of people were out there protesting what was going on with the county. And Jim was flying his drone out there with Anselmo's permission because it was a good place to fly. He's got all this area. Well, and someone was back on the East Coast, and he said, and Jim, they were in contact, and he says, oh, hey, look, just fly over and let me see what they, you know, let me see what they look like. See how many people are there. Well, the drone flies over. I thought it was going to be an anti-aircraft day because people were going, there's a drone, you know, we're protesting, there's a drone. And I'm, no, this is a friendly drone. This is a friendly drone because I knew what Hill was doing. Anyway.
Well, you know, of course, there's a big reason why the FAA is doing this, and it's because... compared to the radio control model flyers that have been out there for the last 40 or 50 years and who know where to fly and where not to fly and are very well acquainted with aviation, mostly because they're flying model airplanes. Drone users, on the other hand, as was quoted by a CHP pilot down in the Bay Area who had a near miss with a drone, then chased it down and directed the police to the owner. And he commented in a newspaper article that purchasing a drone on Amazon suddenly doesn't give you aviation experience. And so the FAA is looking for accountability for the drone flyers, and this is the big reason for the registration.
Okay, and I can understand that. Now, something as small as that one right there, how high can that go? And this is like, how many ounces was this?
Well, it can go high enough to be in my flight path when I'm taking off from Benton Air Park or Reading Municipal.
Especially if you're in the vicinity.
That's right.
The...
Or on approach.
So there are places where, I mean, that you can only, are there limitations now to where drones can fly?
There's a list, as you see in front of you right there, and when it involves the airport, they're asking you to specifically within a 5-mile radius, and that's a lot of real estate.
It sure is.
That you contact the airport manager and let them know that you're going to be flying. And I go to the trouble of pulling up the coordinates on Google Earth and making sure that it's out of the normal traffic pattern. And then we try to get them to declare a maximum height. Now, FAA says 400 feet, but in reality, even the professionals, when they're taking photography, they're not much more than 100 to 150 feet.
Okay, now if you look at this 5-mile radius... from both airports. I mean, you're going out past the city of Ochasta.
It's quite big, isn't it?
It goes out to Palos Cedro. It goes out to Anderson. It's all the way down to Anderson, Centerville, almost to Centerville. So you're talking about, a large swath of land here. Anything that's in the Redding and Anderson area,
practically. Well, we figured that 80 to 85% of the population of Redding and nearly 100% of the population of Anderson is within 5 miles of one of these two airports.
Shasta Trinity National Forest and Whiskeytown National Recreation Area also prohibit operation of drones on their territory.
Okay, that's even more then. So
you bet.
So what you're saying is that you can't fly a drone anywhere in the area unless you tell them you're flying?
Well, unless at Benton, they a simple phone call and a little conversation, and you can fly in the vicinity.
Okay.
We just go over the ground rules, but it's different at Redding. It's restricted airspace. Mm-hmm. We have an operating tower, and from 6:30 in the morning till 9:30 at night, that's Class D airspace, and that means it's all under the air traffic control from the ground up to 2,500 feet.
Okay. Okay. Well, now we've got a lot more stuff we want to talk about here. How the drones, especially Benton. I live close to Benton, so I have a great deal of interest in this, because in Benton Airpark, you've got this is a training, also a training field right there.
And so is the big airport as well. But what's unique about Benton is that we have quite a few housing subdivisions within
right
the vicinity.
There.
So folks who are in the
we've already had a few few crack ups there at Benton on the approach and stuff.
They're pretty rare. We had one recently, a pilot out of the area. I think the one prior to that was many years ago.
Yeah.
We've really only had two or three in the last 20
years. I enjoy watching the aircraft at Benton, and we do. I know Benton is here to stay, and I think it's a great idea. But the people flying drones. Now, this one you have right here is a beginner's drone, I guess you could call it. And then, but they can go on up to how big a drone can a person buy?
Well,
I mean, just say you're a hobbyist and I'm not talking about the predators and these things out there that are like.
Well, if you have a checkbook, you can call Chief Aircraft up in Grants Pass and buy something that'll go up thousands of feet for about $12,000.
Okay, let's just say in that $500 to $1,000 range. How big aircraft are you talking about here?
I've seen, which is the Phantom 3, they're about $1,100.
Okay.
And that seems to be kind of the drone of choice for the professional photographer and the high-end recreational.
Okay.
And they will go well over 1,000 feet. They will do 60 miles an hour. And they weigh about 4.5 pounds. And so if you even look at this,
you got to turn around and talk.
If you look at this and I threw it at you, you wouldn't want to get hit with it. And they are a little more difficult to control than you would think.
Now, when you if you're doing 60, well, if you're just up in the air and an aircraft hits something that weighs how much? 4.5 pounds?
4.5 pounds.
It's even, like a bird strike except bigger.
Yeah,
your engine can ingest that, right?
Well, and of course, and there's a little splat to a bird strike.
Yeah.
With metal and wood, there's no splat. It's much more catastrophic.
Okay, and there's a lot of people out there flying them around. Have there been? I'm going to take a quick break and just hold you here and for another 15 minutes and talk about things that have happened so far that we know about, because I'm also you're starting to see where drones are interfering with. On fighting fires. They're out there with photographers doing this. And I also want to talk a little bit about, I don't know if you can address this, but privacy rights. We'll be right back after these messages. Carl Lindebach, KCNR 1460. We're here with Bryant Garrett, who is the new manager of the airport, and Paul Osterman, who's the director of California Pilots Association. We'll be right back.
Whether it's a 7-year-old battling cancer, a dad injured in a car accident, or me, a mom of two saved by blood transfusions. Every 3 seconds, someone is in need of blood. You don't have to be a doctor, a firefighter, or a police officer to save lives like mine. Donating blood makes you a hero. Contact Blood Centers of the Pacific at our own Redding Shasta Blood Center, 221-0600.
If you are running your own business, you already know that if there are 1,000 items on your to-do list, you really have 3,000 things to get done. Success in business is in the details. You need help. Let the smart professionals at Five Star Bank help you take care of those financial details. Yes, smart people doing good business. Life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react to it. Be positive. Those at the top of the mountain did not fall there. Visit us at Five Star Bank and let us show you how we specialize in emerging business and commercial real estate. Five Star Bank also specializes in hard work, working hard for those that believe that success is just on the other side of the next opportunity. Thomas Jefferson was a great believer in opportunity, for he found that the harder he worked, the more he had of it. Your time is as valuable as your success. So visit us at Five Star Bank, 358 Hartnell in Reading, or call Eric Woodstrom at 223-6652. Online at fivestarbank.com. Five Star Bank, professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Hello, I'm Chuck Kenny, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. My wife Judy and I started Shasta Gas 18 years ago with the goal of providing safety, service, and savings to our neighbors here in Shasta and Tehama counties. We're coming off of a fairly warm winter, but I know that many people still receive some high monthly propane bills, which can be hard on the budget. Shasta Gas is now enrolling some of our customers in our Easy Payment Program, where we estimate your annual propane bill and divide that by 11 equal payments. So instead of getting a $400 bill each month, next winter, you could make much smaller payments each month beginning in May. Also, Easy Payment customers receive a discount on the price they pay for propane as a thank you for being in the program. So if you're interested in dealing with a locally owned, family operated propane company and making smaller monthly payments on your propane bill, give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
Hello, Shasta County. This is Kurt Largent from Sheldon Largent Realty, and these are difficult times in our economy. It's difficult times in real estate, and people have lots of questions. Should I sell? Am I upside down? What is a short sale? What's cash for keys? What do I do if my house is sold on the courthouse steps? For answers to these questions and many more, please tune in Saturday from 9 to 10 here on KCNR 1460 AM to the Kurt Largent Radio Show. We talk about all things real estate.
Brought to you by Trinity Pest Control, Giles Insurance, and Summit Funding.
National news with a local view. KCNR 1460 AM.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl Mendebach. Sky Pilots playing, of course. 7:33 in the morning, going on our 8 o'clock hour. 39 degrees out there now, or 36 degrees, whatever you like. Whatever makes you feel better. Weather Report's always brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. 365-3793, going up to 52 today, low of 37 tonight. The Sports and Show brought to you by Redding Crackmaster Windshield Repair. Offers a full guarantee, but no other company does that. Whether it's a chip or a crack over 24 inches in length, he can fix it. Jeff Wurst, a better-known business down there at 3208 Market Street. Give him a call at 241-8373. You got a little chip in your windshield, you get water in it, a little frost, that heater hits it, crack. There you go. Now you got a crack that's 2 feet in length, and then he can fix it, but nobody else can. But you want to get it. All right, I'm here with the new Reading Airport manager. Is this all you do?
Is this all I do? My day job? Yeah.
I mean, because Rod did other things.
Well,
so Rod, did you work for the city before?
I've worked for the city for about 15 months.
Okay.
And, essentially, Rod got a promotion and left the airport manager vacant for approximately about a year and a half. So I filled in August of 2014.
Okay, he had cards on both sides. Said he was airport manager on one side and something else on the other side?
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay. Paul Osterman, director at large for the California Pilots Association.
You bet.
So it sounds to me like you're something dangerous.
Don't be too impressed. I'm okay. Just a regular pilot based out at the Benton Airpark.
Okay, got it. All right, now, what are some of the rules for flying drones?
Well, there are a couple of basic ones that folks should be aware of. There are a couple of two, three that we would like to point out. One is the FAA says, of course, to keep your flight under 400 feet. Most folks won't fly over 100, 200 feet. By way of example, a digger pine tree is probably 80 feet.
Yeah.
Some of the larger electric tension towers that carry high voltage are probably 180, 200 feet. Telephone pole is 35 feet and whatnot. So,
okay.
You know, that's a big one. The second big one is keep it within eyesight.
Okay, that makes sense. Okay.
And if you look at a small drone and you take it out that 400 feet where they
can't see it anyway, and you can't hear it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And then, of course, there's don't fly over people, don't fly over property, don't fly over moving vehicles, don't fly in and around things like hospitals and stadiums and large gatherings of people.
Don't drink
over your neighbor's house.
Don't drink and fly.
Of course, exactly. There is.
You landed on the White House lawn.
Exactly.
Whoa, yeah.
And you might not think about it, but we pilots only fly generally in good weather. You wouldn't want to fly a drone in bad weather where the visibility is.
What do you think of Amazon's plan to deliver packages with drones?
I don't think too much of it as a pilot.
Are they talking about taking a four pound drone and carrying packages on it and dropping
they're
it
talking
off?
About talking about having a pre-programmed route so that it's all automated. It's not left up to an operator, and the aircraft would just follow that route. That's what they would like to see. In fact, they've proposed their own airspace for that.
I love it.
And, of course, doesn't Amazon say that something like 30% of their deliveries actually weigh under 8 ounces?
Exactly.
Something
really?
Along those lines, yes.
Oh, yeah, because it's books and I'm sure things like that. And
yeah. I don't think it's going to be too far beyond the realm of possibilities.
That they could do it, huh?
Well, that they could do that, and that I could see pharmacies delivering prescription medications.
Wow. Wow.
And so on.
Well, of course, the Forest Service is looking at the use of a heavier machine to scan forest fires.
Oh, no. But there's drones. It's a place for drones. We used them in 1990 in the war, and we used the Predators. We came back. We had a drone conference, and I went to the drone conference, and they said, how do we envision using these? And I said, it's easy. You use, these are your eyes on the battlefield, and you take big drones. And you put laser guided munitions on them, and you let them fly around and shoot things. And I mean, the pilots fought that one to a standstill and beat that one down. But now, what are we doing? That we're using drones in this. Drones are something that are here. Now we've just got to be able to do is control them. Now, when you've got a package that Amazon or that your pharmacy is delivering, is it going to be like a little drone spot for them so they can drop it in?
Well,
I mean, you can't drop it on your probably can't drop it on your front step.
The video that Amazon has it dropping right on your front step.
Well, see, that's
the door's
that's
open
too.
And it just comes
it
straight
just,
down.
It just drops straight out there. Just does it give like a little knock on the door and off it goes like a little sound.
It didn't go that far.
Okay.
I want to know how they're going to keep your family dog away from it.
Well,
mine loves to chase squirrels. I would imagine it would love to catch a drone.
Well, you can't fly it over your neighbor's house or anything, any of these things. Well, then how can you fly it then? I mean, you've got to go out someplace in the middle of nowhere.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, Carl, because here in the local area are three American Modeler Association-sanctioned radio-controlled model airplane and helicopter flight clubs.
Okay.
And these three flight clubs each have their own fields. One is out on Ash Creek Road out east of Anderson and Cottonwood. They've got the biggest field, about 600 feet long. There's one at the Anderson River Park, and there's one up in Shasta Lake. And now all three of these clubs are holding the welcome mat out for new drone flyers to come join their clubs, get some training, as well as fly at their fields, which are all located well out of the 5-mile airspace for the Redding and the Benton Air Park. And it would be a good place for folks to be able to fly their drones and do so safely with the camaraderie of other radio-controlled hobbyists.
They don't want to do that. They want to sit in their backyard and launch it and look around and see what's going on in their neighborhood. That's what they want.
And that's why we're here, to promote
the safe use of drones
and join those clubs. And, yes, there will be a certain percentage who will and some who won't.
They're missing a big chance here. This is coming out of the Netherlands right here, is why don't they just around Christmas time just drop them down the chimney? Drop packages down the
Some
chimney.
Some people have fires in their fireplace.
Well, I know, but I mean, you think about that. You just say, okay, hey, we're going to open up the chimney here, and Santa's out there. And if you played it just right with a little chingling going on out there, and little kids on it, and all of a sudden packages are dropping into the fireplace, come on. Is that too hard?
Nope. You want to see something funny and a little scary? Go on YouTube and type in flamethrower turkey drone.
I don't even want to hear. You know what? Already, I don't even like this. Okay, already, that just where it's going to, I don't like. I think the drones are there for forest fires, checking power lines, probably crop dusting at some point, looking for lost people. But drones are here. But I can see drones are like any other object, you know, mm-hmm. that, frankly, why and probably maybe there shouldn't even be a license. I hate to say that. Okay, I take that back. But they need to be the thing I don't like about drones is you got a bunch of people flying around. You fly them up in an air park or near an airfield. Bang. You know, we, with all the safeguards we had in that Predator that we had, one day it wiggled its wings and waved goodbye, and we never saw it again. We have no idea where it's at.
Well, this is why pilots like myself.
29 pumps, and this is at 29 mm-hmm. pumps. We have no idea where it went to.
Carl, this is why pilots like myself are a little nervous about yeah. drones and encourage folks that live close in to the Benton Air Park to simply not fly the drones, or if you're going to, let's not fly them above rooftop height, certainly not treetop height.
Okay. And there's a lot more to this thing, but I tell you what. Okay, if people want more information, who do they call?
If you're looking to fly in one of those five-mile radiuses, you can call me at the office, which is area code 530-224-4321, and I'll be happy to address your issues.
Okay, we know that somebody out there is listening. There's going to be a lot of drones this Christmas. So if that's the case and you want to fly it, just give Brian a call. Brian Garrett, who's the airport manager. And thanks so much for coming in here, you and Paul Osterman.
Thank you.
And talking about drones, we'll have you back on again and talk airport stuff.
That'd be my pleasure.
New airlines coming in and all that kind of stuff. All right. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come right back in with our North State Symphony. Carl Lindebach, KCNR, 1460. It's 19 minutes till 8 o'clock.
The holidays are on us at Redding Kia, home of the 10-year, 100,000-mile limited powertrain warranty and complimentary lifetime oil changes with every vehicle purchased. Treat yourself to a 2015 Optima, 2016 Forte, 2016 Sportage, 2016 Sorento, or a 2016 Soul, and Kia Motors will make your first two payments for you. Plus, when the holidays are on us, your first payment won't be due until spring. That's 5 months. What will you do with all that extra money during the holidays? This is the best sale we've had all year at Redding Kia. Kia Motors will make your first two payments for you, and you don't have to make a payment until next spring. Take a test drive, make a great deal, and enjoy your holidays. Plus, tax, license, government fees, any dealer documentation charges, and any emission testing charges. Warranty is a limited powertrain warranty. For details, see retailer or go to Kia.com. On approval of credit, must finance through Kia Motors Finance, subject to prior sale, ends 1/4/16. The holidays are on us. Redding Kia, Cypress Avenue, RedingKia.com.
Flu shots provide protection against the flu virus. Owens Pharmacy reminds you, it's not too late to get a flu shot. Visit any Owens Pharmacy and get protected. No appointment necessary. Get a flu shot today.
While serving in Iraq, Sergeant Jason Nielsen suffered a paralyzing injury. Paralyzed Veterans of America's service officers are trained to help injured veterans get all the benefits they've earned. To help paralyzed veterans, visit pva.org.
When you need prompt, dependable transportation, you can count on Redding Yellow Cab. At Redding Yellow Cab, they have a deep commitment to serve the public and provide dependable, first-rate service. Whether you're heading out for a night on the town, need to get to work, or you're just running errands, relax and let Redding Yellow Cab do the driving for you. Redding Yellow Cab is your number one choice for reliable, friendly transportation and clean, comfortable cabs. Give them a call at 222-1234. That's 222-1234.
Hello, Frank Muse with Northern Lights Energy. Well, Christmas is coming next, so Kathy's got gift cards that you can get for the person that has everything. We have a whole bunch of new Toyo Tommy kerosene heaters in for Christmas and ready to go. Kurt and Ricky are delivering kerosene everywhere in the mountains. Cody and Gary are doing a lot in the plant, filling clear pearl for the portable heaters and propane bottles and bulk oil. And thank you to all the customers of ours that use the Muse card locks for trucks, cars, and equipment. Mike Alcorn, the driver of our shiny truck and trailer, has Driver of the Month Award for cleanest truck. Robin is doing a great job keeping up with all of our ag customers in corning and deliveries. Joe at Weaverville plant is very busy filling propane bottles and kerosene. Northern Lights Energy, keeping families warm, tanks full, and always there before you need us. 241-2196. Thanks a lot.
Northern Lights Energy.
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl and Bob. Linda's on sabbatical today. It's 15 minutes until 8 o'clock. This portion of the show brought to you by friends over at Tobacco and Brew. Better known business there. It's a great place to get presents for Christmas. That's right. Espresso Joe's, which has all the best coffees. You can get that cup of coffee, that latte, that espresso, that pumpkin spice, that whatever, that cream that you want in your coffee. All of it at Tobacco and Brew. Plus, be able to buy pounds of coffee there for great gifts from wine and brews. Walk next door to the finest tobacco emporium in Northern California with a walk-in humidor that will just, you know what, when you walk in there, you go, oh, my gosh, it's Nirvana of cigars. Right there, Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. Head on down there. Veterans get discounts at Espresso Joe's. I'm here with Scott Seaton. Good morning, Scott. Good
morning. How are you?
Fine.
Oh,
man.
He's a little better spoken than our...
Okay, you're a little bit... Yeah,
oh,
you're,
boy.
You know, the last guy on was kind of like leaning back. And Scott's leaning in here. He is our conductor of the North State Symphony. How are you?
I'm doing well.
You're doing very well. Still liking it?
Oh, yeah. It's fantastic.
Yeah, that's right. You know, Scott comes in. I mean, you look cool. I mean... He does. That comes in kind of a, I think it was the coat, the scarf.
Velvet.
The velvet coat. You know, I thought that's what it was. I was that looks like a velvet coat. And then you have the scarf that's just, it's wrapped perfectly. I just have to say that. It's wrapped perfectly. I mean, I get it in my ears. But it's wrapped perfectly. Scott.
Yes.
Great job.
Well, thanks.
I'm just hearing all types of great things. Now, we were talking about something during the break before you came on, so
sure,
we
sure.
need to throw this one out right now. There was a letter to the paper from a gentleman that said that we in Reading are a bunch of crass, boorish individuals because we applauded during the symphony instead of waiting.
Mm-hmm.
Are we crass, boorish individuals?
No, not at all. And it's understandable that a lot of people have this mindset, but the fact of the matter is there are lots of different schools of thought on this. You know, a lot of people that think there should be a quiet, respectful silence during movements of a symphony come from this very European tradition that actually evolved later on. You know, back in the time of Mozart and even early Beethoven, people clapped whenever they wanted to. You know,
if
they liked
right?
something. You know, the funny
thing
is...
That's why they called it a movement.
Exactly. Well, yeah, sure. But, you know, even in places like the most formal place I can think of, the Metropolitan Opera in New York City.
Yes.
You know, you clap when you like an aria. It's during an opera. And you're still...
Thank you.
The atmosphere is still carried, but if you like something, I think you should appreciate it. You know, you should show your appreciation.
So you have no problem with that, then?
No, I don't have a problem. You know, and if there is, you know, some special piece of music that I think there shouldn't be applause during the center, then I would certainly mention something to the audience.
Well,
but
you know, I think that, you know, what I thought would be is if Scott wants, you know, he'll give the ground rules when he's out there. I mean, he's going to say, hey, please hold your applause until I turn. And that's what the guy said in there. He says, you should hold your applause till the conductor turns to the audience, and then you should applaud. And none of this whooping it up and whistling.
Well, you know what? I appreciate the opinions like that, and I appreciate that they have such strong opinions and that they're supporting the symphony.
Yeah.
But it boils down to the symphony should be a fun experience, and I'm not going to brush anyone away because they want to show their appreciation. You know, but the musicians, I can speak for the musicians when I say that we do not mind applause at all. In fact, we like
knowing that people...
Yeah, they like our work.
Well, some people wrote back and said, hey, wait a minute, you know, we're not all boorish individuals. And the fact is that we do applaud because, you know, and I'm pretty sure is that everybody would be happy, you know, there's a lot of people here and that people are enjoying what's happening as opposed to just dead silence.
Right.
Is there... okay, have we done something wrong here? Is it that bad? Because there's nobody, nothing. Haven't heard a word. Haven't heard a clap. Haven't heard a peep from them. And then, because I've been in opera houses. I'm trying to remember now. I've been in Vienna.
There's things like jazz as well.
That's the other thing too. I mean, people applaud sometimes during the song.
Oh, absolutely, all the time. Yeah. If there's a solo, they clap during the piece, and the music's still going on.
That's great. Okay, so now we have gotten the word from the leader himself, from the mouth of the virtuoso, the man who runs the opera or runs the symphony, says, "Hey, you want to applaud? That's fine." Now, when you said there are some pieces that you shouldn't applaud, now, what did you mean by that?
Well, I'm just saying.
And then how do you tell people that?
Well, for example, you know, if we're doing some special tribute or memorial piece or something like that, let's say we play Barbara's Adagio for strings, followed by some other more serious work, and then I request that we don't, you know, have applause during the middle or whatever.
Now, do you tell people that?
I would absolutely say
something.
Okay,
you turn first. This is what we're going to be playing. And,
sure.
And please hold your applause till.
Right, and I would say something. And you know, for anyone who's attended the first few performances, they know that, you know, I like to have an open communication with the audience. And
I think that's great.
I will certainly say something if it's you know, if I think it's inappropriate ever to not applaud. So they can expect that.
Well, good. Okay, we've cleared that one up. Well, no, that is good. I mean, because that to me would be something like, yeah, I mean, if it's sometimes it's just so good, so beautiful, that you just have to make some kind of noise.
The bottom line is, if it's after a movement of a symphony and there's no sound coming from the orchestra, you have free rein to applaud.
Okay.
You know, it's not exactly like a jazz performance. You know, if you hear an oboe solo and the strings are still playing, you're like... That's not exactly appropriate, but
But after it's over, so but
right,
you didn't think anything was wrong the last time you were here.
No. I like the people know.
So I can't remember who wrote it, but so there. So, but I appreciate what he was saying. You know, and the fact is, but we're not all a bunch of boorish, redneck, toothless.
No, it's fine. Now if people started
gun carrying, okay, maybe the gun carrying, but we have other, nice attributes.
But if people start applauding during pieces or cell phones start going off, then you're going
to
get a little.
Oh, okay. Now cell phones. To me, cell phones are very, very rude. And I try when I'm emceeing is I hold my cell phone up.
Yeah.
I say, okay, everybody, just turn it off right now. Don't put it on buzz because all of a sudden you see people jumping out there because they put it in buzz, put it in their pants pocket, and it buzzes and they leap in the air.
Cell phones on stun.
on stun. Put cell phones on stun. Then if it stuns you, you just go to sleep. Okay, what you got going now?
We have a set of holiday concerts this weekend that are going to be a lot of fun.
Okay. You know, so tell us about them.
Well, let's see. Reading is on Sunday. At 4 p.m. and it's a nice mix of things. We have a little bit because it's a slightly smaller orchestra than you know our regular subscription concerts. Uh-huh. We have more of a focus on the Baroque period and the classical period. So we have some you know iconic works by Bach and some arias by Mozart sung by the beautiful voice of Molly Mahoney, who has Reading ties, and she's also going to lead us in some classic holiday favorites. You know, We Wish You a Merry Christmas, and we're going to have our sing along, and so it's just going to be a lot
Sunday
of fun.
Sunday at 4, huh?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wow. You know what? That could really be a great thing because it's the week. You know, it's Christmas week, and it could be very beautiful. Bob, this is. Bob's leaving the room. He was so moved.
He's going to go buy tickets.
Yes, he was so moved. He's going out to buy tickets right now. Okay, so when you say it's a little bit smaller orchestra, what do you mean?
Well, okay, so you know our standard performances are in the Cascade Theater and also the Laxon Auditorium in Chico, and which of course accommodate upwards of 1,000 people. But these performances are in smaller places, usually churches or smaller venues.
Okay.
And so it's a more intimate crowd. And so the music itself is more
okay.
small
and where is the symphony going to be then? Okay. Your man, Gary. Where's Gary?
I cannot tell you, but if you look online...
You just drove in. he drove in literally. I mean, he was running through the door as we came in. Don't worry. We will find out.
NorthStateSymphony.org will tell you everything you need to know.
Okay, we're going to have that. Where's our guy here? Anyway, so it won't be at... Come on in, Gary. Where's the symphony going to be this weekend?
It's going to be at Catholic Church up on... Alta Mesa.
Alta Mesa, the Catholic Church in Alta Mesa. I know that where that is, right off the 44 there.
Yes.
Okay, so you're going to be in the Catholic Church at what time? 4 o'clock?
And that'll be at 4 o'clock.
Okay.
And the great part is, after the concert and the sing-along and so forth, there's a reception afterwards for everybody that attends. And there'll be a lot of goodies, sweets, hors d'oeuvres, and wine, champagne, water.
Okay.
Nice party.
All right. And the cost to come in for this?
$30.
$30. Okay. And for children, same?
Yeah, no. It's usually free under 7.
Okay. Free under 7. Yeah. All right. So $30, and you get the symphony, and you get food afterwards, and a great sing-along. Super. And it's going to be at the Catholic Church on Alta Mesa, the one close to the 44.
Right.
All right.
And
4
that
o'clock.
That would be St. John's.
St. John's. Okay. Yeah. Great. Okay. Sorry, guys. No, I didn't mean to put you on the spot by asking you where it was.
Thanks, Gary.
The complete calendar, I might add, is easily accessible on the northstatesymphony.org, and okay. I'll type that into the chat room.
There you go. And where's the next symphony you've got going here? What's it got there in your...
The next one after this is in January. We have our chamber music series, and then the next big set is in February.
Okay, you want to turn him down a little bit? Well, there you go. Well, no, because we were trying to get
my voice
both of
is
you.
So present.
Well, your voice is full present, but then we were also trying to get Gary from across the room too. Okay, so January and then February. Great, great. It's you know what? It's you know, people say, you know, and they worry about things to do around Reading. Oh, there's no arts, there's no entertainment. Well, they're completely wrong. They're completely wrong. We have symphony. We have just something like this, chamber music. We have that going all the time. We have this too, like in the at St. John's Catholic Church this Sunday. Mm-hmm. It's going to be beautiful.
Oh, it's going to be great.
Like that. And there's just so many things going on around here that are just absolutely you can sip at the cup of the arts anytime you want here in the city of Reading. How do you like it being here now? I mean, how long have you been here?
Since mid August.
Yeah, so
it's been a few months now.
The symphony head of that, and you were on. You came by a couple of times before that, and then Glenda was interviewing you.
Yeah, but it's you know, I've said this before, but it's great to be involved with two very different communities. I mean, even coming to Reading this morning, just the skyline is just gorgeous. You know, you see Mount Shasta with its beautiful snow cap, and off to your left you have these other snow cap peaks. It's just it's quite
that,
a sight. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you live over in Chico area.
Mm-hmm.
There.
Yes.
Well, I can understand that in the sense of the university and
right.
that. So
right.
I mean, it is too different. I mean, it's two different feelings.
Oh, absolutely.
And only 60 miles away.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No, it's great. I love that there are two completely different branches of people, you know, two communities of 100,000 that I get to know and figure out, you know, how can I make the symphony accessible to them?
Different symphonies, different locations, or the same symphony?
Oh, it's the same symphony. Yeah.
Okay. And how do they cheer over there too, just like we do?
Yeah, they do. They do. They're very enthusiastic over there.
Okay, so I mean, it's okay. So they applaud too over there in the university town,
oh,
just
yeah.
like we do over here, the non-university town.
Right. Right.
Okay. All right. I just had to point that out to whoever wrote that article, who probably is not even listening to me. But I don't know. I'm going to write an article. I'm also going to write a letter saying, hey, I talked to the conductor, the man himself, and he goes, yeah, unless I tell you, don't applaud. Bring it on. Just don't drown us out. Okay.
Right, exactly.
All right, so good. Scott Seaton is here with us, the conductor and the leader of the North State Symphony. And are you enjoying this?
It's fantastic. It's fantastic.
Having a great
time?
I mean,
there's so much energy during these rehearsal and performance, you know, process that we have. And it's
how long do you do this? Is this like a... Is this like a year job or a 2 year job, or how long do you do this?
I hope to be here for quite a while.
Okay, I mean, so you can. Okay, so I mean, I didn't know if it's something that, you know, like a lot of places, and you've been here for a while, and you can start looking at these, you know, Los Angeles Symphony.
Well, you know,
he's telling me I've got one.
Oh, he's
left.
Not, okay, gotcha. Well, yeah, the great thing about positions like this is that, you know, I can do other things and still be involved here.
Great.
I'm actually up for a few positions across the country, so you know, we'll see how. how my schedule turns out in the next.
So you can do several of these things, though, because you can travel and that. You're a young guy. Mm-hmm. You can wear yourself
out. I'm not too exhausted yet.
Not yet. Scott Seaton, who is the conductor and the leader of the North State Symphony, this Sunday at St. John's Catholic Church at 4 p.m. There will be a beautiful rendition of different musical interludes, plus the great voice of
Molly Mahoney
singing Christmas standards and more. Also, afterwards, champagne and all types of great goodies there to start off your Christmas week. All right. Hey, we'll be right back after these messages with Jonathan Anderson from the Good News Rescue Mission.
The news is brought to you now on KCNR Shasta Redding by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Top cardiovascular hospital in the nation, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com, I'm Wally Hines. Schools in the nation's second largest school system are closed this morning while authorities investigate an unspecified threat.
As a result of that threat, the Los Angeles School Police Department, as well as Los Angeles Police Department and the FBI were notified. And right now, the threat is still being analyzed.
Schools Police Chief Steven Zipperman says the actions were taken out of an abundance of caution. Officials say the threat was delivered electronically but offered no details. Students already at school are being sent home. The district serves 640,000 students throughout Los Angeles and more than 30 surrounding communities. Jury deliberations have resumed in the manslaughter trial of Baltimore Police Officer William Porter, the first of six officers to go on trial for the death of Freddie Gray. The Fed beginning a two-day meeting here in Washington today that many experts think will lead to the first hike in interest rates in a decade. What happens in Vegas will actually be seen coast-to-coast tonight, the fifth and final GOP debate of the year. White House correspondent Greg Clugston has more.
Tonight's Republican debate here at the Venetian Las Vegas is the first one since the attacks in Paris and California. It comes with many voters on edge about the threat of terrorism and a renewed spotlight on national security. The primetime debate stage will give candidates a chance to personally confront Donald Trump, who recently called for a ban on Muslims entering the U.S. Greg Clugston, Las Vegas.
Defense Secretary Ashton Carter cheering news that Saudi Arabia and 33 other nations have agreed to form an Islamic military alliance to fight terrorism.
Greater involvement in the campaign to combat ISIL by Sunni Arab countries.
Carter made the comments while traveling in Turkey. More on these stories from townhall.com.
You made The Powerful, Faith-Filled War Room the number one movie in America.
This is my favorite place in this house. I call it my war room.
Now you can own War Room on Blu-ray and DVD just in time for Christmas. Give someone you love the gift of War Room.
You do your fighting in prayer.
Starring Alex Kendrick, Priscilla Shirer, T.C. Stallings, Beth Moore, and Karen Abercrombie as Miss Clara.
Raise them up, Lord! Raise them up!
War Room, now on digital HD on DVD December 22nd, rated PG.
Hey, Boo. You know, when I cough, I expel a cloud of 3,000 droplets of saliva. I've got stamina, too. I cough all night long.
Ugh, that's way too long. Take Robitussin 12-Hour for fast, long-lasting cough relief. New Robitussin 12-Hour, because it's never just a cough. Use as directed.
All night long.
Please stop.
The 2015 word of the year isn't actually a word at all.
Merriam-Webster's word of the year is ism, and it's the first time that a suffix, that is hyphen ISM, has been selected as word of the year.
Merriam-Webster's Peter Sokolowski says it's based on the most popular internet searches.
We saw this one thing that they had in common, and the volume was so enormous that we decided to call ism the word of the year.
Among the most popular isms, capitalism and racism. Being the leader of a country can really age you. New research in the medical journal, the BMJ, suggests heads of state age faster than normal and that the stress of the job could shave almost 3 years off of life expectancies. Researchers at the University of Chicago compared the fates of 279 heads of state to 261 runners-up in the U.S., Britain, Canada, and 14 other nations. News and analysis at townhall.com. I'm Wally Hines. Seattle has become the first city in the nation to allow drivers of ride-hailing companies such as Uber to unionize over pay and working conditions. City Councilman Nick Licata says laws have to change with the times.
Technology will continue to evolve. It will continue to create new challenges, but it will also continue to create new opportunities. And that means we have to look at our working conditions differently each time that technology changes.
It may not be a done deal yet. The companies could well file legal challenges. A federal judge has temporarily blocked Ohio officials from taking legal action against Planned Parenthood to enforce fetal tissue disposal rules. Attorney General Mike DeWine accuses the group of improper disposal, a charge that Planned Parenthood calls inflammatory. Saudi Arabia calls it an Islamic military alliance. The kingdom says it'll lead 34 nations in an effort to fight terrorism. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The news was brought to you this hour on AM 1460 by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Now accepting Anthem Blue Cross, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl Lindebot. Good morning. It is 8:05 in the morning, and our phone lines here are 605-4567, and we are streaming live at KCNR1460.com. And what's the weather look like today there, Bob?
Hello. It is 36 degrees in Reading right now. The forecast is for plentiful sunshine today. A few afternoon clouds, and then that will continue through tomorrow. Thursday night, however, we see a change in the weather, light rain developing, not a lot of accumulation this time around. Friday, however, we could see about half of an inch as we head into the weekend. More rain on Saturday, and then clearing up by, actually, they've changed the forecast. Looks like the rain's going to continue through Tuesday, off and on. So bring it on. It is, as I said, 36 in Reading, and this report brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane.
Veteran-owned business where our customers are warm friends. Discounts for seniors and veterans at Shasta Gas Propane. Give them a call, 365-3793. And looks like I guess we're running a little bit late today. This portion of the show is brought to you by Alliance Heated and Air. You know what? You're into this part. You know, you're into this time of the year where it's 36 degrees out there. Is your temperature working? Is your heating system working? Are the filters clean? Are the air ducts actually working and putting hot air through the house, or is it letting in more cold air than it is pushing hot air through there? Well, the way you find out is by calling Martin and his people, veteran-owned business right here in town, Alliance Heated and Air, serving the North State for over 20 years with outstanding service, voted best in the North State. Busting the North State, Alliance Heating and Air. Give them a call at 221-2642 or check out their website at homecomfort.org. You know what? We use, and Bob does too. Bob uses Alliance Heating and Air as I do, and we can't say enough about them, about their customer service, how good they are at getting out to the house if something needs to be done, or in our case, just coming out and checking every 6 months or even more often just to make sure all the filters and everything's done, everything's cleaned, everything's the way it's supposed to be, and we're ready to go. All of this, Alliance Heating and Air, best in the North State, 221-2642. All right. Before we got into drones and the symphony, we were talking about Kristen Schrader and her homelessness plan, and how this was going on would be a 5 to 10 year plan. That it has to be she's looking at a lot of. I want to applaud Kristen Schrader. Yeah, I've taken Kristen Schrader and some of the things she's done, and I have completely disagreed with this woman and with this council person, not as a person, but as the decision she's made as a council person. Here. But this one, it's something that's not going away. It's getting worse. And in fact, if you look at statistics from all the United States, there's more homelessness now than it's ever been under our great president and leader, Obama. You know, and everybody can say, oh, he saved this, he saved that. I'm not sure what he saved. I'm not going to take this into a political diatribe on Obama and how there's more people out of work than there are, you know, than there ever been in the history since probably, I don't know, since the Great Depression. They're not even looking for work anymore. But what Schrader's done, and is she says, look, and she raised the money herself. This didn't come out of the old city coffers like we always do, and how most of the plans go. She raised the money, got the money, had it underwritten, and they looked at the study. First of all, the things that have to be done is, one, you have to identify how many homeless do we really have here. And you know what? The other part is, when they're doing this, it's a homeless study, I would like to know how many veterans out there are homeless. How many of the homeless that are in this area that we're talking about that we can help are veterans. So I'm hoping that would be a part of it. The other thing too is she's looked at the Salt Lake City project and how they did it, and they've ended 91% of their homelessness, which means, you know, I mean, it's 9 out of every 10 people are off the streets and they're in some kind of housing now. In the rub, of course, are the details. I mean, the devil's in the details here. So what exactly is Kristen planning on? And she's talking about a 5 or 10 year plan. You know, 5 years may not be enough. It's got to be a long based plan. She wants to get with the housing authority here in town. It's going to take an influx of cash. Now, in San Antonio, where they started with the sobering center, and then they moved them into a dormitory, and they talked about a $28 million grant. And everybody immediately, as soon as you start talking about the homeless and trying to work a sobering center, and money, 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 money. There is money out there for that. And it doesn't have to start out at 100 people. It can start out at 10 people. And once you know, this to get them off the streets, you know, the ones that, you know, the guy in the wheelchair the other day. The guy in the wheelchair. He's pushing himself backwards across the crosswalk on Placer and California Street. All right. Halfway through, he turns and goes down the center line, yelling at people, going backwards up Placer. This woman tried to help him across, and he's yelling at her. Doesn't want her help. She's on the phone immediately. She's calling 911, which she has to do because this guy is obviously out of it. And, I don't know what happened, and I was stuck in traffic going the other way. But I was just watching this happen. Something has to be done like this. So Kristen Schrader at least is trying to get her arms around this, and she wants something to happen. Now, what can happen? Yesterday when down at the Record Search Light, and they had phone calls coming in and all this, they asked her about the blueprint for safety, which she didn't address specifically. She's comfortable with the idea of no sit or lie ordinances, and I'm glad that they are comfortable with that. But one of the things the blueprint for safety said is we need public bathrooms. Now, there's different ways of doing this.
I saw some when I was in Portland.
And what did you see in Portland? Were they a portable bathroom?
It was about the size of a minivan, and it had the interesting thing about it is that all around the base was open, so about a foot high around the base was open, so that you could tell if someone was in there and if some activity was taking place, so law enforcement could spot something nefarious without actually intruding on the person's privacy.
So you can see from the bottom.
Yeah, like in a bathroom under
the
stall.
In a bathroom under the stall. Yeah. Okay.
But other than that, it's an enclosure. Like I said, roughly the size of a minivan just sitting there.
Okay. Now, that's one of the things that was mentioned, that there's something out of Seattle, too. But it's the size like of a small bus, and it's got showers in it. Now, we pull these things around in the military where you can, and you see these, where you have they're portable heads, and they can be put up. You can, they have the facilities, stall facilities. They have sinks, and they also have shower facilities, all in one trailer that you can move around. That might be something they're talking about, and everything goes into a storage system. We got to take a quick break here, but we'll be right back. This is Carl Lindebaugh, KCNR 1460. It's 13 minutes after 8 o'clock here on the 15th of December. It's going to be a bright, sunshiny, cold day. 605-4567 is our phone number. Give me a call. What do you think about homeless? What do you think about what we should do? Should we be looking at doing housing, at least portable heads, at least bathrooms out here, or more? We'll be right back.
Deep inside of me, girl, you just don't realize why.
what you do to me. When you hold me in your arms so tight, you let me know everything's all right.
U202, the only restaurant where you can enjoy your favorite cuisine on the river. Now with our new menu additions, including classics like sweet potato fries, U202 burger, fish and chips, and the old hatch cover favorite, Mai Mai Almondine. Also new, 6 unique flatbread pizzas with toppings from beer braised chicken, spicy Italian sausage, to seared wild mushrooms. Try their smoked steelhead Benedict or the Cali Benedict with avocado and roasted tomato. And on Sunday, enjoy Linda Bott and her jazz ensemble along with bottomless mimosas and half-off bottles of wine all day. Happy Hour is every Monday through Thursday with drink and appetizer discounts. Friday nights are rocking with live music from 6 to 9. View 202 serves only the freshest local ingredients. Executive Chef Dustin, along with his staff, are passionate about their guests having an exceptional culinary experience. View 202, 226-8439. That's 226-8439.
Have you ever had your vehicle in a shop for a collision repair? When you called to check on it, did no one seem to know anything about it? Don Steck for Coachmaster Collision Repair. Did you feel like a number when you were given canned rhetoric or generalization not specific to your vehicle? Although we are recognized as an authority in frame and suspension repair, we are primarily an auto body and truck collision repair center. When you select Coachmaster, we will tell you exactly how we are going to repair your vehicle. You will know the person in charge and get direct answers to your questions and follow-up phone calls, because every vehicle is personal to us. With our knowledge of the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to get started quickly. A reputation for excellent service and high-quality repairs takes years to build, and we intend to keep it. Coachmaster, Collision Repair, Redding, California.
Whether it's a 7-year-old battling cancer, a dad injured in a car accident, or me, a mom of two saved by blood transfusions. Every 3 seconds, someone is in need of blood. You don't have to be a doctor, a firefighter, or a police officer to save lives like mine. Donating blood makes you a hero. Contact Blood Centers of the Pacific at our own Redding Shasta Blood Center, 221-0600.
Mark your calendars for the wedding show event of the year. January 17th, it's the Bridal Guide Wedding Show, calling all brides, grooms, and families. Join us at Simpson University January 17th from 11 to 3 p.m., where you can see over 100 vendors and a special live fashion show with tons of giveaways, including a free honeymoon trip. Make it a day to remember at the Bridal Guide Wedding Show. That's Simpson University, January 17th from 11 to 3. See you there.
Allen and Dahl Funeral Chapels are locally owned and family operated since 1978. Our goal is to assist you with your questions and decisions in difficult times, treating you with respect, care, and understanding, as we would with our own family. We have a reputation for being honest and compassionate, and our rates being very reasonable. We have a menu of various services, from cremation to traditional paths. Let us be there for you and help you with the questions you may have, even if you have already chosen another chapel service. That's just the kind of people we are. Always there for you. Allen and Dahl, with 3 locations to serve you, Redding, Anderson, and Palisadro. For more information or questions, call 547-4444. That's 547-4444. Allen and Dahl. Family, helping family.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR, 1460. Good morning. It's 8:18 in the morning here on the 15th of December. 605-4567 is our phone number. 38 degrees, going up to 52 today. It's going to be a bright, sunshiny day today, going down to 37 tonight. It's chilly, though, chilly out there. It's a good time to get the rest of that Christmas shopping done. It's the 15th, so you've got 10 more shopping days. Okay, 9 days for all you sissies out there to keep shopping. If you haven't got them already, now's the time to go out and head on down to Four Winds Jewelry during this super extravagantly large sale that Leonard's having at Four Winds Jewelry, 2225 Hilltop Drive. Whether it's estate jewelry, new stuff, diamonds of the highest caliber and quality and carat size, plus everything else you can possibly imagine, all at Four Winds Jewelry right there at 2225 Hilltop Drive. Big sale, like I said, going on, integrity and just a full-service jewelry store and one stop there, including the only watch repairman in the whole area, right there at Four Winds Jewelry. He's got it all. Open Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 4, across the street from Sierra Gibbs in that little strip mall right there. Four Winds Jewelry. That's where Linda goes to shop. 8:20 in the morning. Let's go to the phones. Dale, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you? What have you got some comments on homelessness or my comments?
Some of your comments. Don't be too quick to jump on the bandwagon of thinking Kristen's doing such great things. I applaud her for at least trying, but let's start with the first thing is, the group that she hired, if you do a little bit of research, you'll find that they're just a bunch of Bay Area lawyers that go around and sue people.
Okay.
I went to the last meeting at the Red Lion, which I can say over half the people left before the thing was even over.
Okay.
And they're not getting any real numbers. They haven't even been out to any homeless camps. All they did was take the flawed numbers from last year, which everybody agreed were flawed.
Right.
And they punched them into fancy little pie charts. Went, ooh, look at this. They won't even separate the criminal transients from the homeless. And we need to do that first.
Okay.
Chief Paletti will be the first one to tell you is that, you've got to separate the ones that he needs to deal with from the ones that we as a town need to deal with on the mental health and the, that are truly homeless and need help. So, not a big fan so far. I think 30 grand could have got us, $1,000 for 30 different people first and last month to get into some housing.
Well, that's true.
That would have helped more than 30 grand to plug some flawed numbers into some pie charts.
Well, but don't you agree, though, Dale, that somebody, we've got to start doing something about this?
Well, yeah, now the rest of the council sat on their hands for years and years and years, and everybody's complaining. No, I agree. I'm glad at least, but I don't know. Hiring a bunch of Bay Area lawyers to go around and sue towns and people was the smartest thing to do.
Okay, well, that's a very good point. But I think that something needs to be done. And we've got the Good News Rescue Mission here, and I'm just going to bring Ken White in here.
I love the things the Good News has been doing.
Yeah.
The Salvation Army, they do great things. We have a lot of programs here. What we have is a lot of criminal transients out there who don't care, and they're just breaking laws. They're the ones breaking into all of our cars, stealing stuff out of our houses. We got to deal with that.
No, you're absolutely right. We do have to deal with that. So if we can, we've got to run a kind of winnow out the ones that need the help that we can help and move them into that type of transition lane and then get the other ones and put them in jail or whatever facility we have.
Exactly, which, that comes down to we need, instead of handing out raises, we need to be putting more officers on the street. I mean, they need more officers like there's no tomorrow. We are just so far down on our numbers. I don't care what the blueprint says, we need officers.
16 minutes for an emergency response average. That's way, way, way too high. When I tell people about this.
I know, it's done over by the time they get there.
Okay, Dale, thanks a lot. Appreciate your thoughts.
Thank you. Have a great day.
You bet. You too. Now, here's a guy that's been to, he went to the meetings, so which a lot of people didn't do. And the fact is that we have flawed numbers, and I think that was one of the things that was pointed out. But we're here with Ken White from Good News Rescue Mission. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning. How are you?
I am peachy. I am, we're talking, it started in the paper today. Kristen Schrader met with Record Search Light, and they had this hour-long call. And one of the things, she's talking about a 5 to 10 year plan to try and address homelessness. Now, Good News Rescue Mission addresses homelessness every day.
Every day. Homelessness and poverty and addiction.
Shouldn't there be a one-stop shop for all this? I mean, you've got so many different agencies that are involved, so many different housing authorities. I always go back to the one safe place concept.
Yeah.
Where they put everything under one roof. But when that Family Justice Center started.
Sure.
Is that impossible?
Well, I know having been both at One Safe Place and at the Mission.
I know, that's why I asked.
There are challenges. There's no doubt there are challenges. And one of the hardest things is trying to get everybody on the same page. you know, one-stop shop in concept and in theory is fantastic. But how do you do that when everybody has already got their own infrastructure and, you know, their own power, you know,
their own budgets, their own leadership, their own
power paradigms and all of that other stuff?
We used to call them rice bowls.
Yeah.
Everybody's got their own rice bowl here. Who's going to give up their portion of their rice bowl to actually work together?
And that does make it a challenge. What I think the first step working toward that would be to try and get everybody at least working together. And so often you don't see that. We've been fortunate at the mission, having, you know, been at this for a while, to have folks that have really done a great job of communicating well with all the different agencies that are in our community, whether it be housing agencies, mental health agencies, health communities such as, you know, the hospitals and RESPAD and others. You know, so in a sense, the mission maybe isn't the one-stop shop, but it's definitely the gateway.
Let's talk. Let me bring this a little bit further. Then one of the things that came out of this blueprint for safety, and everybody's agreeing on this, and I'm more than happy that, you know, that Missy MacArthur is taking the lead on this one. You've got Kristen taking the lead on the homelessness, and as Dale says, at least she's doing something.
Right.
You may not agree with what she's, how she's doing it, or who she hired to do it, but at least we're moving forward with it. And Missy has said, "Hey, look, I'm behind the Sober and Center." So Missy's kind of like taking the ball on this one, which I think is a great idea, because we've been talking about something like this for years. Finally, you know, I guess we needed a blueprint for safety to say it, you know, to make it happen.
Sure.
You could do that down there where you're at, with plussing you up a little bit, couldn't you?
Do what? Let me be clear before I say something. Put
a little sobering center there, like a you know, down there at the Good News Rescue Mission, you know, a few rooms there with plussing you up with mental health helpers and that. I mean,
well, you know, and here's the interesting thing. I mean, in theory, I think absolutely. In practicality, the question is, one, how do you pay for it? And then, you know, is there enough programming and staff, you know, and
well,
what's the ramp-up
time? You're
going
to have to ramp up and do it. And it doesn't have to be for 100 people.
Sure.
That's not what we're talking about. But maybe I go back to the San Antonio model.
Right.
The guy, you know, they have the Sober Center, which gets them off whatever they're on, whether it's alcohol or drugs.
Right.
Then they move them into a long-term
recovery program.
So you're not set up exactly for that.
Right.
But you've got the foundation to do something like that if you were plussed up with money and personnel.
And, you know, and to be quite frank, that's kind of the rescue mission model that was adopted about 20 years ago, Denver being one of the key drivers in that, and really changing the face and model for addressing the homelessness and poverty issues. Denver came at it from that perspective, which is, you know, how do we get to the root causes, and then what once we get there, how do we address them? And so that's where the addiction recovery program started, the health addressing health and mental health issues.
How did that work?
Denver's one of the largest rescue missions in the country. I think maybe second behind Los Angeles. And they went from a budget 25 years ago of about $150,000. I think their budget now is around $14-15 million a year. And if you've been to Denver, the whole downtown, the face of downtown has changed.
Mm-hmm.
And the rescue mission, you know, is an integral part of that in trying to actually address homelessness.
Okay. We're here with Ken White from the Good News Rescue Mission, and we're talking about homelessness questions. And the Record Search Light has just done a series of articles on it, and at some point we're going to probably at the beginning of the year bring in the editor and the writer for that and discuss that, maybe bring in a couple other people and discuss this thing. Maybe Kristen would be a good person to do that with, and about the homeless situation we have here. But Dale, I think, is right, too. We've got a undercurrent, too, or underbelly of illegal
activity,
or activity yeah. here of guys that are criminals, that are transients, that yeah. are just using this and using the our societies trying to help people.
Right.
Just to be able to establish themselves into a place where they can rip off stuff.
Well, and you know, I have to say kudos to RPD because, you know, we have one of the best police forces in the country. And I think if we can just continue to back them up and back the badge, as they say, I think the criminals hearing stuff about, you know, 16-minute response times and we don't have enough cops. You know what? Our cops are going to get the job done. I believe in them, and I really think that they are going to help us turn this around. And the police force here in Reading is going to be a leading driver
nobody,
in that.
Yeah, but nobody ever said that we didn't have great guys here. The problem is we don't have enough great guys and girls because 60, you know, you got 60 square miles yeah. here. And people, oh, no, you don't need more cops. Well, you know what? 16 minutes for response time for an emergency is too much.
Yeah.
And and the ones that I know, they're not slowing us down just to make, you know, response times. They're being swamped.
Yeah.
Here with Ken White from Good News Rescue Mission. We've got to take a break right now. It's 8:30 in the morning here on the 15th of December. 38 degrees out there, going up to 52 today. Nice and sunshiny. It's going to be raining later on this week. Weather Report always brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. We'll be right back.
Christmas and Happy New Year from your friends and neighbors at Reading Electric Utility. On behalf of all REU employees, we wish you a safe and joyous holiday season filled with peace, health, and quality time with loved ones. Reading Electric Utility has been honored to serve you this past year, and we will strive to keep 2016 shining bright. For energy savings information and holiday safety tips, visit reupower.com. REU and you, powerful together.
Orchard Nutrition Center's creed is their promise, to offer only the highest quality products that follow strict manufacturing guidelines, because you deserve to live life to the fullest. Since 1982, Orchard Nutrition has always believed that we are all in it together, because the food you eat is a lot more than just a daily activity. The things you consume affect every aspect of your life. Orchard Nutrition Center hosts many exciting educational events throughout the year, including seminars each month featuring experts who present the latest information on a variety of health and nutritional topics. The main focus is on helping you understand how your body works and how to live healthy. These seminars are a great way to learn interesting information in person, and there's always an opportunity to ask questions and really get clarification from the experts. Bring your friends and family. Reservations are not required, but seating is limited. Visit Orchard Nutrition Center on Facebook for seminar schedules, speakers, and topics. Orchard Nutrition Center, your friendly, local Whole Foods store.
Hello, I'm Chuck Kinney, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. My wife Judy and I started Shasta Gas 18 years ago with the goal of providing safety, service, and savings to our neighbors here in Shasta and Tehama counties. We're coming off of a fairly warm winter, but I know that many people still receive some high monthly propane bills, which can be hard on the budget. Shasta Gas is now enrolling some of our customers in our Easy Payment Program, where we estimate your annual propane bill and divide that by 11 equal payments. So instead of getting a $400 bill each month next winter, you could make much smaller payments each month beginning in May. Also, Easy Payment customers receive a discount on the price they pay for propane as a thank you for being in the program. So if you're interested in dealing with a locally owned, family operated propane company and making smaller monthly payments on your propane bill, give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
45 years, the Reading Civic Auditorium has been an important resource in the North State for entertainment, fundraising events, trade shows, and conferences. In the past 3 years, over $1 million have been put back into this iconic structure. We invite you to be a part of the Civic's revitalization by becoming a member. We think you'll love the benefits, and your support will help to sustain its revitalization and strong community connection. Visit ReadingCivic.com or the box office to become a Reading Civic member.
National News with a local view. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 at 8:33 in the morning here
at Free Fire Radio with Carl Bott and Linda Bott. Linda's on sabbatical today. This is her Tuesday off. She gets Tuesdays. Tuesdays and Thursdays. I like it. 605-4567. We're streaming live at KCNR1460.com. This portion of the show brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop, right off Athens Avenue, across from the subway right there. What can I say except it's man's last stronghold, better-known business that gives great haircuts. It's like the Cheers of barbershops. Discounts for seniors and veterans, of course. And you'll never see Dr. Phil or Oz, Dr. Oz, or gosh, even The View. We'll never be on the TV set when you go in there. It'll be just like good stuff. And you've got all types of magazines, National Geographic and Car and Track. None of those that have lewd pictures, though, are not invited into that barbershop.
No Vogue and Women's Day.
Huh? None of that. They're Cosmopolitan, which has become a sexist magazine as far as I'm concerned. I can't even let my granddaughter look at the covers anymore of Cosmopolitan.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, it's gone to that point. Yeah, that's right. Okay, Cypress Square Barbershop right off Athens Avenue. Go on down. Say hello to them. Tell them that Carl and Bob sent you. We're here with Ken White from the Good News Rescue Mission. And Ken goes, he says, I thought we were here next Wednesday. And I said, I've got you written down here. And I did. I had it written down. And then I looked down for next Wednesday. I haven't written down there, too. So we're going to get Jonathan back on next Wednesday. Yeah, we're going to do. This is good because I want to kind of talk more about this part. And then with Jonathan, we can talk about maybe the overall mission. But the homelessness thing we're talking about. There are illegal transients. And I tell you, our police are all over them and over crime here. I mean, when you get a front page story that we find just two children in a, in case you haven't seen the front page today, two children, the remains of two children were found in a storage facility here in town. And they've arrested a woman and a man over another murder. And then they came here to this town, you know, came in here to Reading and found the remains of its two other children. They're not from here.
No, I know.
And they're not from here, but it's still just... When you get things like that, there's something wrong here with people. And we do have a criminal element in this town, and we do have things broken into. But, you know, and we can't forget one thing is our police are all over the place, all over them. The question is, do we have enough? You know, it's going to be something that's going to be discussed. Do we have a place to put them? No, we don't really have a place to put them anymore. But you've got that part. Okay, we all agree on that part. But there is another portion of our population here that are homeless. I mean, and they're not the couch surfers. They're not the ones that are living with their parents. They're, the ones that are not being really uncomfortable.
We're talking about the people that are truly in need.
The woman in a wheelchair, soaking wet, out there on a camp, and they steal her money because there's no way for her to defend herself.
Right.
And they know when she gets paid for her SSI and all this stuff. And people like her. Is there any hope for people like her, Ken?
There is, and I think it's going to take us doing a better job at the mission, I think, of educating the community on the plight of those folks. And what's encouraging to me is that I'm seeing the conversation bring these elements back in. I know this started really with people being angry about the crime issues in our community, but the really positive elements that I see coming out of this, in addition to addressing the crime, are addressing those other elements of the population that are truly in need. And I think our community as a whole, what I've seen in my time here, and I've been here in Reading for 37, 38 years, is that our community is extremely generous. And what happens is a lot of times they just simply don't know what the needs are. And when I've gone on the air like shows like this, and I've shared with people, hey, we need toys, or we need turkeys, or we've got this issue, the outpouring of support is just unbelievable. And so, when we, the article that was in the Record Searchlight on Sunday by Elena Schulman that highlighted mental health issues in our community, I think is a great start. And I think that as a community, as we understand the issues of mental illness more, and as we come to recognize just who is in need in our community, I think our community is going to step up and do the right thing, and there's hope.
I want to find out who our veterans are. And they've got to be veterans, because a lot of people say, "Oh, I'm a veteran." You see them in a little cardboard sign outside. I want to run out there and punch them in the face if they're a veteran.
Yeah.
If they're not a veteran. If they're a veteran, I want to take them and say, "Look, there is hope. There is help for you. There's tons of help for you. You just have to show up."
Yeah.
I mean, we've got two or three different organizations here in town that can help this person. I mean, they can take them off the streets and all this. But then you get into the mental health side of it that says, oh, well, I don't really want to do that. I don't want to take my meds, or I'm better now, so I don't need to take those meds anymore. And it's like, okay, it's a downward spiral. Mental health. I mean, the money's been cut back and cut back and cut back. Of course, when you talk to mental health people, well, we just need more money, isn't there just maybe sometimes better ways of doing things?
There are, and that's what I mean by educating our community. We do, I mean, frankly, lack resources in our community. And I think a lot of that, I think, starts with, again, understanding what the issue is. And we're seeing it. You know, it hurts me. I was quoted in this article by Elena on Sunday, and it hurts me, you know, as a longtime resident in our community. I stopped at a local gas station here a couple of weeks back, and there's a guy out front just acting irrational and you know, waving his arms and muttering to himself, and he's in between tantrums. He's eating some snack, you know, junk food, and just he's dirty, he's disheveled, he's obviously homeless, and he's obviously mentally ill or very high. Bearded, you know, no teeth. It just looked like the world had kicked him in the face. And, you know, so I stopped and I talked to him, and in between, you know, ramblings and misunderstandings, I got a little bit out of him. And, you know, and he makes the comment, he says, yeah, Satan's been really riding my back lately. And so I got him some hot food. I prayed with him a little bit. My son was with me, so I couldn't really take him in the car with me and take him anywhere. And then I just started praying. And for like the next 2 or 3 days, I prayed for this guy. And he shows up Thanksgiving Day. Or the day before Thanksgiving at the mission's big Thanksgiving banquet.
Right.
Only two times in the last 2 years had he been in our records. And he shows up that day, and he stayed with us a couple of nights. And I'm like, yes, you know, this guy's finally going to get some help. And now he's gone again. And so, you know, I'm hopeful. I still hold out hope. But when you're dealing with mental illness, it's like it's so hard for us on the street. You can't force them, you know. So that's where the education in our community, I think it's going to take us as individuals when we recognize somebody like that, being willing to get them to the mission and get them to the mission again and get them to the mission again and get them plugged into that service stream where they can start to clear their head, hopefully get on some medications that'll do them some good and you know, and walk with them through that journey. And that's going to take some special people, I think, to step up and be able to do that. But I think that's how you deal with it.
Well, you know what? This, as long as it becomes a matter of personal freedom.
Yeah. Absolutely.
We're going to have to deal with it in the sense of they're just going to walk around and be crazy out there.
Yeah.
And because you can't commit them unless they're a danger to themselves or others. And even then, I think it's to that point where they're no longer a danger to themselves or others.
Yeah.
And then once they take their medicine, they're no longer a danger to themselves or others, but then they stop taking their medicine.
Exactly.
And so, I mean, this itself is something else. Okay, so the city takes over the Americana Lodge down here, let's say. You know.
Hypothetically, right? Yeah.
Hypothetically, they take down the Americana Lodge.
Yeah.
There's 200 rooms there.
Right.
They take it, they refurbish it, and then they work through the system here and they use it for homeless. Would that help? Or would that hurt?
You know, my personal, and again, I got to be careful about speaking about my personal opinion, speaking for the mission, because sometimes as a mission, we're still grappling with some of these issues, but I might have a very, very well-formed opinion at times. You know, we've seen a lot of these housing first initiatives and a lot of other things out there, and not to take away from any of the effort of those groups. But, you know, if you have someone who's mentally ill or addicted and you house them first, well, now we've given a mentally ill or addicted person a home, but for how long? You know, did we address the issues that is going to allow them to maintain a sustainable lifestyle? And my answer to that is no. So, you know, we take over the Americana, we turn it into a homeless shelter.
And I'm not advocating taking private property for anybody.
No.
Okay, before everybody goes,
yeah, right.
No, I'm just using that as an example. If there was a hotel shut down right across the road from Turtle Bay. All right, let's just talk about that one.
Right.
Okay, instead of taking that one. Okay, it's shut down. People don't know what to do with it. So the city takes it, buys it, refurbishes it, and uses that. Okay, everybody's happy now. But you're right. If you put a mentally ill or a drug addicted person into a room, they have a tendency to destroy it.
Right.
And then leave anyway,
right?
Without being helped. But somewhere in there, there's got to be a, when you put them into, again, we go back to that sobering concept out of San Antonio. You get them into the sobering center there, and then they move them into a kind of a barracks or a dormitory. At that point, you can move them in.
Well,
or for people who don't have the addiction problems, where they just are homeless.
Well, and we actually have that model at the mission. We've with help from Dignity Health, in fact, and a grant that they helped us with a couple of years ago, we put in place a mental health screening in our recovery programs. So now every person entering our recovery program gets screened. Last year we screened 160 people. Actually, it was in 2014. We screened 160 people for mental illness.
Mm-hmm.
And of that, we were able to refer a number of them to outside help for care so that they can get on a treatment regimen. And then we were also able to counsel some of those folks in-house and then start to, again, manage that going forward. So now we know there's an issue. We can continue to maintain and case manage those folks going forward so that they continue to maintain that care.
So we've already started that concept.
Yeah.
We're scratching the surface, but it's started.
But the concept is there, correct.
Okay.
And it actually started years ago with what we called our InStep program, and Pastor Dave Honey was actually the person that got that started.
Okay.
And it kind of evolved over time into what we called our Stepping Up program. And so now, instead of being a separate program, it's integrated into all of our recovery programs.
Okay. Hey, I'm here with Ken White from the Good News Rescue Mission, Director of
Development
there. Yeah, Development. Okay. We're going to take a quick break, but this portion of the show is brought to you by Bastiani Arms, 2539 Larkspur. I think if you run down there today, 15th, 25th.
10 days.
10 days. It's going to be, but you can have it by New Year's. Get that new gun by New Year's. You know what? You can still go down there though and buy ammo, and you can get a card, you know, for bringing in later. If you give it to them, you can give them
sales receipt,
a cash card,
envelope,
right? Yeah, there you go. You put it in there, and just a big surprise, and then ammo. How about a rangefinder? That's always good, or some kind of new optic system. Anything you want is at Bastiani Arms, locally owned, locally operated, veteran discounts. There, they've got it all, including classes on CCW, hunter safety. If you want something that has to do with firearms, you go to Bastiani Arms. Again, locally owned, locally operated. He can match any price out there, almost any price out there. You go on in and talk to him. 222-8222 is his phone number. But you head on down to 2539 Larkspur, right here in Reading. Bastiani Arms, John Bastiani and his beautiful wife and his family. We'll be right back. It is 14 minutes until 9 o'clock here on the 15th of December.
Christmas future is far away.
Shots provide protection against the flu virus. Owens Pharmacy reminds you, it's not too late to get a flu shot. Visit any Owens Pharmacy and get protected. No appointment necessary. Get a flu shot today.
While serving in Iraq, Sergeant Jason Nielsen suffered a paralyzing injury. Paralyzed Veterans of America's service officers are trained to help injured veterans get all the benefits they've earned. To help paralyzed veterans, visit pva.org.
NorCal Limousine Services is a family-owned business right here in Reading. We offer beautiful limousines and sedans with rates starting as low as $55 per hour. Do you have kids? We have amazing birthday packages for as low as $150. Sure, they can jump around all day or enjoy a memorable birthday they will talk about for years to come with NorCal Limousine. Driving to any of the major airports from Reading can be a drag. Ride with us in style and avoid the long drive and parking fees. We service the Sacramento and San Francisco airports as well as all the cruise lines.
Hello, my name is Jamie, the owner of NorCal Limousine, and I have over 14 years in experience in the limousine industry. I know how to treat you right and will always be discreet. If you have never rented a limo before, you should give us a call at 276-8851. It's more affordable than you think and a whole lot more fun than driving yourself.
Like our Facebook, check out our Yelp reviews, and mention KCNR for additional savings. That's NorCal Limousine at 276-8851 or NorCalLimo.com. TCP 31143.
The holidays are on us at Redding Kia, home of the 10-year, 100,000-mile limited powertrain warranty and complimentary lifetime oil changes with every vehicle purchased. Treat yourself to a 2015 Optima, 2016 Forte, 2016 Sportage, 2016 Sorento, or a 2016 Soul, and Kia Motors will make your first two payments for you. Plus, when the holidays are on us, your first payment won't be due until spring. That's 5 months. What will you do with all that extra money during the holidays? This is the best sale we've had all year at Redding Kia. Kia Motors will make your first two payments for you, and you don't have to make a payment until next spring. Take a test drive, make a great deal, and enjoy your holidays. Plus, tax, license, government fees, any dealer documentation charges, and any emission testing charges. Warranty is a limited powertrain warranty. For details, see retailer or go to Kia.com. On approval of credit, must finance through Kia Motors Finance, subject to prior sale, ends 1/4/16. The holidays are on us. Redding Kia, Cypress Avenue, RedingKia.com.
Some things in life you can just rely on, like the perfect fit of your favorite pair of jeans, the nap-inducing powers of your trusty recliner, and the tried-and-true performance of a new Rood home heating system. So here's to reliability, built into everything we do. Rely on Rood.
Get reliable comfort when the weather turns cold with a new heating system installed by the local pros at Alliance Heating and Air. Call Alliance today, 530-221-2642. At Alliance Heating and Air, everybody calls us.
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl Botten. Ken White here from the Good News Rescue Mission. It's 10 minutes until 9 o'clock here on the 15th of December. It's 38 degrees going up to 52 today, 37 low tonight. It's going to be sunny for the next couple of days, and then it's going to get in back into the rain, which is great because Mount Shasta Ski Bowl just started.
Hey, first time in 2 years.
Every drop we can get.
There we go, and we want that. We want about 40 feet of snowpack this year. That's what we want. 40 feet of snowpack.
That's what I'm praying for.
I want a little bit of snow here in the town here this coming week so the grandkids can see it. Not that they don't get it in New Mexico enough. I want to take them up to the snow, now up to the ski park and let them. I think they've got something up there you can ride sleds down, right?
Yeah.
It's got a little, like a snow lift.
Snow hill. They got the hill down at the base of the mountain.
Oh, good,
know.
Yeah. Hey, this portion of the show is brought to you by our friends over at View 202. You know, last weekend they did Jingle All the Way through the weekend. Got hundreds and hundreds of toys for Toys for Tots. Raised money for Toys for Tots. Santa was there Sunday. The Madrigal Choir was there. But on this Sunday, you've got Linda and her jazz ensemble will be there singing from 11 to 1. Another good evening or good morning out there. A lot of things happening out there at View 202. A great brunch. Very reasonably priced. Bottomless mimosas, bottomless mamosas, and wine that's half price. I tell you what, you go out there and sit out there on the deck on a beautiful day, and it may be a little chilly, but they got all these fire towers going and the fire pits. And the only person that has a problem is Bernie on the guitar because his fingers freeze with the guitar. So we have to move him over close to the fire. At the View 202, give him a call for reservations, 226-8439. All right, I'm here with Ken White, like I said. You know, during the break, we solved all the problems of the world.
Yep.
We did. Well, I would do this and this and this, and I would do this and this and this. Yeah, you know what? And you could do that if you were king.
Sure.
And if you had unlimited amount of funds. And you could do all those things, but we don't. So we've got to take some kind of actions. As we said, that you all started the concept that the guy from San Antonio had. And I should remember his name, but I don't. You all started that in a small way.
Right.
And so, but when it gets right down to it, we ought to spend the $33,000 or the $133,000 ought to be on how to build the economy in Shasta County. If you built the economy and spent $130,000 on this to come in and say, if you did this and this and this and this and this, you would build the economy right here. I could see spending money on that because once you build the economy, you have people that are having problems now would not be having problems because they'd have a job. You'd have money flowing in to be able to take care of these. take care of a lot of these problems.
Well, and I agree with you, Carl. I think economic issues are really one of those key indicators of the health of our community, and we've struggled with that in Northern California for a long time. When the economy's great, it seems like crime rates drop, and we got more police on the street. And,
yeah, well, that, you know, you see, it all takes care of itself, and then you can build a bigger facility for people and all that.
Absolutely,
it doesn't. It's not the answer to all,
no,
everything.
And you know, one of the other things that's going to help, and I'll, this is a shout out to all the parents out there, particularly, prescription drugs. We're talking about the heroin issue in Shasta County.
Yeah.
Lock up, throw away, discard those prescription drugs that you no longer are using, and make sure that your kids don't have access to those. Because, you know, the heroin problem is really was really born out of the opiate addiction, prescription opiate addictions,
right,
that started about 3 years ago, yeah, 3 to 4 years ago.
And they really tightened up on that.
Yeah, they tightened up on that, and then that's where people started moving to heroin. So
and there's an abundance of heroin.
There's actually studies that show that communities that see a big spike in opiate, you know, prescription opiate addictions, we'll see a heroin problem within about 3 years, and that's totally true here in Shasta County. About the time I left the mission originally in 2012, before coming back last year, that was just starting to kick up. Here we are, and now it's the drug of choice on the street.
How many people do you see that would not be homeless if they had a chance at a job down there? Would you say a percentage?
A large percentage. And you know, the problem too is that once you start down that cycle, you know a lot of things start getting woven into that. Like I said, there's the mental health issues, sometimes born out of addiction, which is born out of low self-esteem and isolation. And then you've got, you know, now you got to unwind that sense of self, which is also wrapped up in the addiction, which is also wrapped up now in the mental illness. And so it takes a few years oftentimes to unwind all of those issues and get these people back to a sense of, a sense where they feel like they can hold down a job.
Okay.
So it isn't an easy fix. I remember one kid we had come through the mission a few years ago. I say kid, he was 40 years old. But when you start start your addiction, you stop maturing. Your mental and emotional maturity ceases to progress. And so we'll get a lot of 40-year-old people in there that are really 12, 13-year-old kids. And this one in particular was 11 years old when he started using drugs. But he didn't use it voluntarily. His parents used to invite him in with their friends to use, because he was so entertaining once he was high. They would use him as their form of entertainment. So here we're seeing him 30 years later at the mission.
He'd get high when he was 10. They'd give him marijuana or something like
marijuana,
that.
Marijuana, you know, pills, you know, whatever it was.
Was entertaining to them.
He was entertaining to them. So they found it humorous to watch him when he got high. So I remember hearing this and reading his testimony. He had written it out for us. And so here we are 30 years later, trying to unwind 30 years of this behavior, and it's hard. It's just hard. And so everybody wants that quick fix, and that's why I say we as a community and as individuals have to have the stiffer backbone and say, you know what, yeah, it's going to be tough, and we're going to walk through you because one, we believe in you as people, and two, we want our kids and the community as a whole to not experience this going forward.
Is there anything you can do about people? I mean, okay, so we put together this five-pronged plan here. You know, we boost the economy. We bring in sobering centers. We bring in experts to deal with people in mental health. But there's still always going to be a percentage. Salt Lake City dropped their homeless rate down to 9%. Mm. And I'm not sure what that study, how they did that. I'm not sure if they transported most of them out of the city, you know, far, far away, and then dropped them off. I'm sure that's not it. There's a little bit of humor there. But, I mean, they did something to do that. But I have a feeling that in Salt Lake City they had a lot of funds. And let's face it, it's a tight community there. Church of Latter-day Saints runs Salt Lake City.
Sure.
So I'm pretty sure they could, like, push in one direction any way they wanted to.
Well, and I think – I thought I saw somewhere where the architect of that model is going to be speaking or addressing or available for Q&A somewhere in the near future here in Reading.
That'd be interesting.
I can't remember where I saw that.
It could be one of those things that came out. Yeah.
It might be part of Kristen's plan. I'm not sure.
Yeah, we got to get Kristen in here maybe in a time when we start – maybe at the beginning of the year when we have the Record Searchlight with their author, you know, with their writer in here about the homeless, with what they're thinking. Maybe have Kristen in here talking about what she thinks is could be a plan for the homeless thing there.
Well, and I liked what you had to say right before I came in here, and that is that you know we've got a homeless issue that we're trying to address. We've also got a crime issue, and those aren't always the same thing.
No, they're not.
And I'm really encouraged to see the public recognizing that, and to see that conversation being had. That people are recognizing that criminals commit crimes, and it's not just homeless criminals that commit crimes.
Oh, no,
crimes.
They're not. They're using anything as an excuse, and our cops are all over them. I mean, obviously, because they're arresting them right and left, it's, you know, our police are doing a great job. It's just, there's just a lot of things out there, and we need to fix that. Anyway.
I really believe in our community. I know we're going to get ahead of this.
I think so. I think that, you know, we got arms around what was going on with domestic violence. So that was taken care of. So now we have to take a look at this thing and see how we can do with this and not sell the cow along with the milk here.
Yep.
So, okay. It's tomorrow we got the Sheriff Tom Basinkle's going to be in here. So we're going to talk to him about Blueprint for Safety, plus a number of other things they're having. But I sure appreciate you coming in, Ken.
My pleasure. At the last minute,
since I've got you scheduled for various days here. I like to do that. I like to have people in here. But, I can do that. And so
we'll have
Jonathan on next week to talk about maybe a bigger picture on the mission. But I really appreciate your comments on homelessness because I know you're right in the middle of it and you all are helping.
Well, thank you.
Okay. All right. Hey, everybody. Have a great day. Remember, it's going to be the high of today is going to be 52. It's going to be sunny. Good time to continue doing your shopping. I'm mailing out hundreds of Christmas cards today. Okay, maybe
well,
five.
I won't.
Remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?
No, I won't back down. You can stand me up at the gates of hell, but I won't back down.
The news is brought to you now on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Top cardiovascular hospital in the nation, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Rich Thomason. An abundance of caution given as a reason that Los Angeles public schools are closed. More than 640,000 students have the day off because of an electronic threat targeting a number of schools.
The threat that was received pertained to the LA Unified School District.
School Police Chief Stephen Zipperman, LA School Superintendent Ramon Cortinas.
I think the circumstances in a neighboring San Bernardino, I think what has happened in the nation, I think what happened internationally, I, as superintendent, am not going to take the chance with a life of a student.
And he says nobody goes back to class until every building has been checked.
Before the day is over, I want every school searched to make sure that it is safe.
Meanwhile, New York City authorities say they received the same threat that closed